Hey guys, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. I want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you, and maybe you've joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony or just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you'll find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, grow in your marriage, and grow in your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. So I'm trying to tell my kids, you've got an enemy that hates your guts called the devil. You're on his planet. Jesus is Lord over this planet. The devil's God over this planet. Temporary God. Jesus is Lord over me. I'm behind enemy lines. I've been taken out of his kingdom, put in the kingdom of God's dear son. That's why I have armor on. I'm a special trooper behind enemy lines. I storm hell. Matthew 16:18, Jesus said this, the gates of hell will not prevail against us. What's a gate? Something locked up. What's locked up? The stuff the devil stole from me, my time, my peace, my honor, my joy, my money, my health. What are you going to do? I'm going to storm hell and get it back. Amen. Most Christians, I lost a son-in-law to cancer about 10 years ago. God had healed him twice, and we lost him. We didn't think he had died. I had a great, great cancer doctor in the hospital, but he is a heathen. He hated us. We're up there praying, playing music. We're in intensive care for 2 days. I didn't think he'd die. I thought, we'll bring him home. He's just sick as a dog. So I'm leaving, I'm going to the elevator, and Doc says, hey, preacher, can I walk to the elevator with you? I said, sure, Doc. Now, I know he's a heathen. He's a great doctor, but he's a heathen. So I know here he's going to say something. I said, Doc, he said, preacher, you know who gets healed of cancer? And I said, no, sir, who gets healed of cancer? He said, mean people. Mean people get healed of cancer. I said, I've been doing this for 12 years. People come here that die that shouldn't and don't die that should. He said, it's the mean ones that make it because they'll fight. You Christians are too nice. You won't fight. And he left me those words at the elevator. You know, the Bible talks about the fight of faith. The problem is when hell lands on Christians, and I pounded my kids, quit your thumbs up. Well, what happened? What did God do? Oh, my God. God didn't let this happen. He's in heaven. They're singing to him. You're down here. God's not down here unless you invite him. Prayer is not a religious thing. It's a legal thing. You have not. Because you ask not. I know what you need. I need you to ask. I'm not allowed down there. Satan has got over that planet. I'm only allowed when a human invites me. Pray without ceasing. And everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Prayer's not a religious thing. It's illegal. That's why you get filled with the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Spirit. You can pray in the Spirit when you're mowing the grass, driving to work. It's not to make you holy. It's to get your prayers answered. To pray the perfect will of God. It didn't make you a Pentecostal, it's to get God to show up. And so all of a sudden I said, we're in God's prime time. You read, yeah, this is a nasty time, but God promised in the last days, God, family came first, church came second. Church came along, put the family back together. It's in Genesis. All of a sudden, here we are, we're the church. We're the light and salt of this planet. We're the salvation of this earth. We're the only thing living. Everything outside us is going to die and burn up one day. Two things last forever, the word of God and you and I. We're eternal. That's why the news media makes fun of the church, finds goofy people that are in the church, finds bad pastors and puts them on the front page of the news. Why, the devil's a verbal thing. He's trying to attack us. Can't stop us, though. It's our finest hour. God said, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy and not cuss you out in the kitchen. You'll dream dreams. You'll have visions. I will turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the children back to the fathers. It is our greatest moment. So I've told my kids, your job in life is to go be a problem-solving machine. If you ever leave a place of employment, you ought to make them cry that you're leaving. Not throw a party and put some cake on the table. Thank God and great hell, they're gone. They're gone. Our job as believers is to leave every place we go better than we found it. When God's son came to earth, he left everybody better than he found them. What do? We represent God. We're going to leave you better than we find you. We're salt, we're light, we're something good happening on this planet. We're not a billboard for hell. Well, I got nothing, air goes right, and nothing going good. I don't work. I'm talking about parenting, by the way. Because we loved having kids, we just couldn't wait till they left. We thought, man, be glad when you're out of here. But I realized something, if I don't train them up, they'll come back and bring friends. So I've told my kids, listen, we're going to get you born again, spirit filled, get you in a great local church. Make sure you're in good youth group. You're going to youth camp. I'm going to get you through college. I'm going to pay for your college. I'm going to get your first car, and I'm going to pay for your wedding. After that, you owe me. Oh, you can laugh. I'm very serious. You owe me. You owe us good measure, pressed down. I'm going to launch you, and then you owe us. So if you ever come back to the house, don't spend the night. Bring food and a good report, because I'm going to launch you out into the world. And I know you're laughing, but I'm very serious about this. My six kids, I love my kids. I don't have perfect kids, but I got good ones. Get out there and whip something, not somebody. Go whip something. Go be a problem solver. Don't call, well, nothing. And my husband, and my wife, and my kid, and my dog, and my neighbor, and my boss, and the weather. Whoa, 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 whoa. So, let me give this to you. I'm going to fire this real quick. Hang with me. This is in a series called Biblical Parenting 101. I'm an engineer, so I teach in series. Everything's 6 30-minute sessions. I think you got to hold your head under the water to either swallow or choke. You can't get it a one-shot deal. You got to feed on it for a while. So this is our parenting seminar, so listen carefully. You go back to Genesis. God said in the beginning, talking about, says it's not good for man to be alone. That's why he made him a wife. That's why the wife is better than the man. God looked at man. Good, 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 good. Not good. What's not good? Man. Not good. Not good. Take a nap. Took out a rib and made something good, because he didn't make another Adam. The first Adam was not good. What would two Adams do? Now you got two people not good. I'm just thinking like an engineer. It's like, well, if that's not good, why would you make another? Yeah, they're both not good. So when he made a woman, he made something better. Now this is all in your public library. Women are better than men. The average woman outlives the average man by 7 years. She has a better immune system. She uses both sides of her brain. Men only use one. An average woman uses 28,000 words a day. An average man only uses 12. A woman has better manual dexterity than a man does. She's got a better memory. She's got better vision. She's got almost 180-degree vision. Men have tunnel vision. That's why men are better night drivers. But in the daytime, 4 times more men are broadsided in an accident than a woman. That's why if your wife's riding in the car with you, she'll tear that dashboard up. Look out! Watch out! Look out! And there, guys, shut up, woman. You're driving crazy. It's because he can't see it. Now, this is a whole seminar. It's the only thing you listen to. I got to close this. God made women better than men. Man's still the leader, the head, not the boss. He's the head servant. Jesus said, you're going to be great in my kingdom, become the servant of all. I tell all men, first thing you'll ever do is get you an apron. Now, I'm the head of my family. I'm a lover, leader, and provider. God said that, and that'll never change. My wife is a helpmeet, a manager, and a lover. We have different job descriptions. I'm not her boss. I'm the servant. I'm the head servant of my family. Baby, what do you need? I'm either to write a check for it or start believing God for it. I'm not your boss. I'm your servant. What can I do for you? Now, it doesn't embarrass me. I was a sorry husband for a lot of years until I got born again in Spirit-filled. In my house, you come, I make them. I sell them on my website. Men's aprons, really nice canvas aprons with big red lips on the front. It says, let's play kissy face. The next night I went to a seminar up in Springfield, Missouri one time, marriage seminar, 1,200 couples. Saturday morning, it was the session on sex and marriage. So, well, this will be good. I'll learn something. Now, Denise is there, pregnant with our fourth daughter. And it's not like I don't know anything, but I'll learn something. This professor from college up there opened up with this statement. Her opening statement was dishes, diapers, dinner, and sex. One's about as much fun as the other. And she wasn't trying to be funny. Now, there's 1,200 of us sitting there, I thought. And I looked at Denise and said, what's she talking about? Shut up, Joe. You're about to learn something. And I learned that in most marriages, men do what they want to do. Women do what they have to do. Both of you come home from work on Monday. Mama's got to get dinner ready, help the kids unpack the book stuff, find out how they did at school, help them out with their homework, get the laundry ready, clean up the dish. Daddy watches that. He'll eat that meal, go and watch Monday Night Football, and take a nap. All of a sudden, he'll wake up about 11 o'clock feeling good. His favorite team won. Belly's full. Mama's been working like a dog in there. Shut plopped out on the couch by 11 o'clock, greasy, tired, and dirty. He'll look over and wink at her. Hey. She'll say, don't touch me. And he'll go, it's always the stinking kids, isn't it? I'm cleaning that up a lot. Anyhow, Genesis 18, God picked Abraham to start a whole new race of people. Abram, Sarai became Abram, Sarah. The reason God picked him was one reason and one reason only, Genesis 18, 19. Why did you pick this one man to start this whole race of people? Because I know him. What do you know about him? He will teach his children and his children's children about me. Is he a perfect man? No, he's tried to give his wife away twice. What man had wanted to do that, you know? He's got a bad habit of lying every now and then. He's not perfect, but I do know one thing about him. He will teach his children and his children's children. Deuteronomy 6:6-9 said, I'm to teach my children when I get up, walk by the way, sit down and lie down. Psalm 78 commands me to teach my children to the fifth generation that they might have hope in God. Isaiah 54:13, all of my children shall be taught of the Lord, and great will be their peace and undisturbed composure. Proverbs 22:6, I'm going to train up my child in the way he should go when he's old, he'll not depart from it. My job, and I could just give you 50 scripts, is to teach and train my children. They're all born doofuses. They don't know a thing until you teach them. That's why church is the greatest thing on this planet. This is where we teach the next generation. We teach parents to teach the next generation. We're to put the word of God into them deep, that the words of Christ dwell in you richly. My children are going to do what they think. You better be thinking about God. You better keep feeding on God. So all of a sudden I realized my job is to teach and train. So I said, we got to do this. Man, we got a great local church. I love my pastor. We don't have a perfect church. They don't exist. We got a great one. So we came in. We realized we're going to teach you and we're going to train you. We're going to launch you out. I found in the scripture when I was teaching parenting, taught parenting for 8 years, covered some 364 subjects. I realized when God called us out to teach, I got to boil this down. I can't teach all year. I got to put this in a weekend seminar and boil it into four areas. Here it is, Luke 2:52. Luke 2:52 said, Jesus grew in wisdom, stature, favor of God, and favor of man. Everything I ever taught fell in those four areas. Four areas of parenting. Jesus grew wisdom, stature, favor of God, and favor of man. Jesus grew in wisdom. You know, Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get yourself some. Why? Well, wisdom will get you long life, riches, and honor. Proverbs 3:16. I want my kids to live long, have honor, and be blessed. How do you do that? You need wisdom. What do you get wisdom? Well, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Psalm 34:11. So every morning, every night, I've prayed over my kids ever since they were conceived. Father, I ask you, teach my children to fear you, for the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom and the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 9:10, Proverbs 1:7. I've prayed it twice a day all my life. It doesn't make them holy, but I have given God permission. Teach my children to fear you. I'm not going to let my kids go stupid. David prayed, God, search me, see if there be any wicked way in me. If there is, lead me out in the way everlasting. But when I went through just praying all the wisdom scriptures, and I wrote them all down out of Proverbs, I realized wisdom, somebody that grows in wisdom and that Jesus grew in wisdom, is somebody that has a vision for their life. A wise person is somebody that does what's right. If you read Proverbs chapter 1, there are four kinds of kids on this planet. Proverbs chapter 1, it's all in three verses. Wise children, simple-minded, foolish, and scornful. If you're not wise, you're simple-minded. You're not evil, you're not full of the devil. You just have no wisdom. You keep doing dumb stuff over and over. Why? You're not wise. If you stay simple-minded too long, you become a fool. The Bible said it's sport for a fool to make mischief. You'll make a game out of getting in trouble. Stealing stop signs, peeling tires out, seeing how fast you can drive without getting caught. You make a game out of it. You stay a fool too long, you go to stage four. You become a scorner. A scorner hates those that love him. A scorner has the ability to get everybody around him in trouble and never get caught himself. That's why the Bible says, cast out a scorner. Expel him, get him out of the midst. Cast out a scorner and strife and contention will cease. Why? They won't cooperate. You're on your own until you decide to come back and be a part of us. So all of a sudden I said, okay, I need to make sure my kids have wisdom. Well, that's having a vision. Jesus grew in wisdom. Well, he had a vision for his life. If you're reading Hebrews, here's what it says about Jesus. Jesus knew where he came from. Because they'd ask him, who are you? I'm the son of God. Which said, I know where I came from. I laid down my glory in heaven, took on the body of a man born of a virgin birth. I know where I came from. Mom and dad had lost him. Luke 2:49, for 3 days they were on a caravan. Mary and Joseph lost Jesus. He's a 12-year-old boy. Mary finds him. She's yelling at him, where have you been? We've been looking for you for 3 days. Jesus answered in Luke 2:49, know ye not I need to be about my Father's business. Jesus knew where he came from. Jesus knew why he was here. And Hebrews 12 says, Jesus said he endured the cross for the joy sitting in front of him. Jesus knew where he was going. Kids that don't know who they are, why they're here, where they're going, are a show-off. They're going to wear their hat backwards, the britches of a 400-pound man. They're going to play their music real loud and peel their tires. What is it? That's a 5-year-old thumb sucker that doesn't know who he is saying, please look at me. I don't know who I am. I did it, and I was alive when Elvis was alive. What do you do? Wear your hair like Elvis, you know, roll your sleeves up, you know, cut the mufflers off your car. What is it? Please look at me. I don't know who I am. Because the Bible says, mark then of a perfect man, into that man is peace. A man that knows who he is doesn't have to prove it to anybody. He can show up and be a blessing, not suck the oxygen out of a room. Oh, I need my kids to grow in wisdom. So you pray that and you work with that. I need to plant a vision. Proverbs 29:18, where there's no vision, the people perish. Years ago, Harvard University was started up in Massachusetts to train preachers, believe it or not, 213 years ago. What are you going to do? We're going to train ministers for the gospel. They left their vision. But some had enough sense to start setting some money aside. You know, we're going to need money to do this, train these people. So they created an endowment fund. That's money that makes money. They don't spend it. They set it aside. Money makes money. People don't make money. Today, the endowment fund, we were up there 4 months ago. Their endowment today has $34 billion in it. Billion, not million. Their endowment, they get 12.7% interest off of it. Nobody gets that, and Harvard does. Their money made them $3.9 billion last year. Now, their tuition is already $43,000 a year. That's just tuition, not books, room, and board. And there is a waiting list to get into that university. They don't need your money. They got money. Why? Somebody had a vision to get some money. And so the heathen aren't struggling with money. It's the Christians saying, why? We've been destroyed for a lack of knowledge. God told us how to handle money, but we don't want to read it. We're just trying to get rich quick. You get it quick. Proverbs says you lose it quick. I don't want to lose it. I want to keep it. The Bible says a good man leaves an inheritance to his children and his grandchildren. When my grandfather died, I went to the funeral. Everybody said he's a good man. It was a long funeral. We had to eat outside on the parking lot because we couldn't fit inside the church. They set up the tables on the parking lot. And I remember my uncle got up and tapped on the glass, and everybody's there, and everybody said, my grandfather's a good man. He tapped on the glass and said, okay, appreciate everybody coming to the funeral. Some of you coming from several states away. We're going to pass the hat and have to take up a collection because Grandpa died, and he wasn't working in the mines. They lived in the mining house, but if you die, you can't stay in the mining house, so Grandma's got no place to live, so she's going to live with all 12 of us kids. It'll be the kid of the month for the rest of her life because Grandpa didn't own a house. The other thing is he didn't have money for his funeral. So the casket's on loan. The burial plot's on loan out there. You know, funeral home's loaned it to us because he knows the family. So we're going to have to pay for the casket, pay for the plot. And so he had to pass that three times that day to get enough money to pay for my grandfather dying. And everybody at the funeral said my grandfather was a good man. Well, the Bible says a good man leaves an inheritance to his children and his grandchildren. My grandfather reached out of the grave two generations down, shoved his hand in our pocket, grabbed a wad full of cash, and pulled it back in the hole with him. So biblically, he was not a good man. Because good men provide for their families, not thumbsuck about the economy.
Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday through Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Make sure you go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.